Hello and welcome to a very special podcast recording with Meningitis Now and Erwin Mitchell, entitled "Is Making a Will Too Difficult? Demystifying the Process." My name is Mark Jeffries. I'm the Corporate Partnerships Manager for Meningitis Now. I've worked for the charity for 4 years and grew up in Stroud, where the head office is based. My brother had meningitis, so did my mum in the 80s, and charity was formed. So I have a deep connection with meningitis and its work. And I'm also a father. I'm married. I'm a father to two children. I'm joined by Emma McCann from Erwin Mitchell. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Yes, of course. Thank you, Mark. So I'm a partner at Erwin Mitchell Solicitors, and I am a specialist in will writing and estate planning and estate administration. And I'm also very used to dealing with charity will writing schemes and dealing with the sorts of questions that people have about writing wills generally. I've been doing this work for over 20 years, so have built up quite a lot of expertise about this whole field.
So I know that writing a will is very important. I also know it's leaving a gift in your will is incredibly important as income for Meningitis Now. It's over a quarter of our income came from gifts in wills in the last year. I'm 40. I'm sort of fit. I know you're into your fitness, Emma, as well. So why is having a will so important? I'm married, so doesn't everything just go to my wife anyway?
Well, writing a will is the only way that you can be certain that you are specifying where you want your estate to go to. Yes, if you are married, a certain amount will go to your spouse, but depending on how much you have, it might not necessarily be the whole amount, which can cause difficulties for a spouse that is left if actually part of it goes to children, part of it goes to the spouse. So writing a will is, like I say, the only way that you can be absolutely certain that what you want to happen is going to happen. It also makes sure that people are very clear about your wishes, not only about who your beneficiaries are, but who you want to be your executor, who is the person that sorts everything out. If you do want to leave specific amounts or specific items to people, who you might want as the guardians of your children. If you want to set up, for example, a trust fund, if you do have a charity you want to include, all sorts of bits and pieces like that, that if you were to not have a will and your estate passed under what's called the rules of intestacy, which is where there is no will, none of that would be able to take effect because it doesn't account for those sorts of things. So it's your way of telling your nearest and dearest what you want to happen.
And so my wife, next of kin, they're not automatic. It's not an automatic process where they just become executor.
No, it's not an automatic process. If you don't have a will, then you have to apply for something called a grant of representation from the probate registry. Until you get that grant, there is nobody with any authority to deal with someone's estate after death. So there can be a big gap before anybody can do anything. If you have a will, then the executor named in the will has authority straight away. So if there was a difficulty or an issue, say, for example, the house insurance needed to be renewed or some other decision needed to be made, then the executor can do that straight away because they effectively stand in the shoes of the deceased. They can make that decision straight away. So it, from a practical point of view, not having a will causes a lot of issues with estate administration generally.
I often think some of this terminology, having an estate, I've got a semi-detached just outside of Stroud, doesn't feel like an estate. So is a will, it's not just for people with money or homeowners necessarily.
No. An estate sounds like a very grand word, but what a estate means is basically your assets, what you have in your name or in joint names with someone else at the time that you pass away. I think when we hear the word estate, we do automatically think that that means that somebody has a lot. And, you know, not everybody does. If you've got a bank account and you've got a house and a car you've got a good job that pays a, you know, a death in service or a pension or something like that, then yes, you should absolutely have a will. And even if you don't have very much, but you want to appoint a guardian for your children because they're minors, you can do that via a will. So although, you know, obviously it's more important for people that have a lot more, it is important for everybody, to everybody concerned. So I think the key to it is, although, you know, people worry about making wills and they think it's all very complicated, and the main thing to think about is the assets that you own, is to have knowledge of what you own. You know, can you write a little list? This is how you set yourself up to make a will. Can you write a little list? What do I have? And who are you going to be your beneficiaries? You know, and for most people, that is a handful. Close family members, maybe one or two charities, maybe a friend, something like that. And so then you've got all the information together that you need if you were going to sit down and, for example, fill in an online questionnaire or fill in a postal questionnaire. And anything that isn't clear, we would always come back and we would say, well, what did you mean by that? Or how about this option or that option? So we will ask questions if things aren't clear. We don't just make assumptions. And if there's anything that people see in a will once it's been drafted that isn't correct, they can amend it. So it's only once they've signed it that it's, you know, a valid will and it's sort of set. Even then, if they notice something, they can just sign another one that's been corrected. So, you know, there's plenty of opportunities to change it if you don't feel happy with it. Or sometimes when people see something in writing, they think, oh, hang on a sec, I didn't realize it was going to come across like that. I don't like that. I want to move it around. Perfectly possible to do. I think it's just important that people make a start. And then they'll realize that it's not as complicated and as worrying as a lot of people think it is.
Yeah, and feel that ownership of it, I guess.
Yes.
In a way, as you say, you can control put in and what's important to you, rather than seeing it as some sort of life audit by professionals that are sort of doing some census of all your belongings and worldly goods and then divvying them out to people. It's entirely up to you what's important to you as well. I remember getting a metal detector from my granddad in his will. Because we went to the beach one day and I was doing all the digging and he was doing the detecting, and we found a couple of old Coke cans and a couple of 20 pence pieces. And so I got that. I've still got that in my garage, actually. So that was important to him and sentimental. I guess that was in there as well.
Absolutely. And a lot of people do things like that with jewelry is quite an important one. Sometimes family heirlooms, family things that are important like that. Yeah. You'll sometimes see pictures or other items, you know, you whatever it is that people have got that's special to them, they can include that within a will. And so everybody's will is unique. Everybody's will is different. It's personal to them. In fact, what you just said there about, you know, a life, you know, some sort of audit, that actually is more likely to happen if you don't have a will, because you are them. It is them prescriptive as to what happens. You have no choice, or your family have no choice. So making a will is the only way then to say, look, these are the things that are important to me. These are the people that are important to me. And this is the way I want it all to be structured. And I think, you know, the only other thing I'd just like to mention is the more that people have, the more important it is, because there is things that can be done for sort of tax planning, that sort of stuff within wills that minimizes, therefore, the tax that might be payable after someone dies. You know, things like gifting to charity. If you leave a certain amount to charities within a will, at least 10%, it reduces the tax rate, the inheritance tax rate on death. So there's all sorts of things like that that people can factor in if they look into it and ask questions and start talking to somebody that understands it all.
I feel much more enlightened now and clearly have some homework to do to get everything in order. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for your time, and hopefully we'll be speaking about your will soon.
I will be in touch.